You're listening to Around Comics Book Club episode on True Story Swear to God Archives Volume 1. Chicago, this is Around Comics, the comic culture podcast, where normally every week we have a revolving panel of guests, but not this week.
It's reductive. This is you and me, my friend.
This is a little different type of episode than our normal Monday episodes. This is our book club episode on the...
Is this coming out on a Monday or just during the week?
I think it's going to be on a Friday, so a little...
Yeah,
that's a little treat before the weekend. This is our much delayed, much anticipated.
Oh my God, yeah. I read this book months ago.
Well, you know, our book club selection is True Story, Swear to God, Archives, Volume 1.
Are we going to get serious about doing this book club? Are we going to be serious about, how about every 2 months? Is that more realistic?
No, I'm
I'm not saying this accusatory. No.
I really enjoyed this book, and I'm glad that
you picked a huge book.
I picked like a 500 page archive, and
that's why I've chosen New X-Men Omnibus. That's my next read. It was folly. We'll call this Neesman's folly.
Neesman's folly, yes. But
Jesus Christ, I almost knocked over everything.
This this archive is published by Image Comics,
and the best thing Image has done is embrace the black and white archive reprint.
Which we'll touch base on that probably to start things off here in just a minute. But this is Tom Beland's true story about a real life romance, and it retails from Image Comics for $19.99. It was available through InStockTrades.com. I believe that they're sold out, but you can still get it at Amazon for $13.59. So. It is available there, and really for the amount of content in this book, it's over 520 pages.
Yeah, it's a lot of content. Get your money's worth.
Absolutely.
Chris, did you enjoy it?
Yes, I did. Quite a bit. It for folks that that have read like Jeffrey Brown's stuff.
Yes.
It definitely has it is an autobiography.
Yeah, it is. It's about Tom Beland meeting his future wife at the time at Disney World, and she's from Puerto Rico, and he lives in California.
He's a cartoonist for a newspaper.
A radio personality in Puerto Rico, and just the story of them getting together and him moving to Puerto Rico and just long distance relationships and things like it's. Very much a slice of life comic, but it's also, I would also put it in the realm of the same element of fantasy that draws people to superheroes. Not because it's fake, but because it's such an awesome story that you would want to happen to you. But it's real.
Yeah,
but it's real.
He's
it's an amazing story.
Yeah, he's 35 years old. In the book and in his real life, because this is very much his real life.
This is
him. And you get that feeling is that he's 35 years old. He's happy where he lives.
He'd been married once already and had been divorced very quickly.
Happy with his life, has kind of come to the his personal realization that he's going to be single and he's okay with that. And he enjoys his life. And then all of a sudden he meets this woman that absolutely turns his life upside down. And
at a bus stop at Disney World. That he took on a trip from one of his coworkers who got a ticket to Disney World, so he went instead of him, and he met this woman and
pissed that guy off.
Yeah, I mean it has all the really great elements of a great slice of life story. It has incredibly poignant moments of when she, I, and now I'm just, I'm forgetting her name.
Lily,
Puerto Rico's.
That's okay, because he forgot how to spell it.
Yeah, he forgot how to spell it, and he spelled it wrong in the comic.
Yeah.
Because he was writing the comic while he was with her, and he showed her the first issue. I mean, this is a collection of self-published, like, it
they
was start, like a weird,
yeah. Started as mini comics, and then as it gets into the book deeper, it kind of details how he took these comics that he kind of done for himself.
Yeah.
And then turned
and
them into
mini. And she convinced him
to make mini comics.
Sell, I mean, it has elements of weird sadness where she's in a hurricane and he's worried about her. It's got selfishness where he's has to move to Puerto Rico and he's being kind of a dick about the fact that he
goes through total culture shock.
It's really funny at parts. It is truly a slice of life. It's got all the elements because nobody's life is all sad. Nobody's life is all funny.
You know,
It's a real slice of life.
I felt that as I was reading it, that there were parts in the series that, just like life, had ups and downs. And there were parts of the story that I don't want to say that they were laborious to get through, but there were definitely parts of the book that I enjoyed more than others. And there are just kind of like these valleys in his life as he's wrestling with this long distance relationship. And if there's going to be a future, something's going to have to give. And that was, you know, hard to get through for anyone that's had to go through a long distance relationship. But then there were other parts of the book that were hilarious and page turners that you know I didn't want to put it down. And so it's very much like real life in that there were you know peaks and valleys in his story.
Yeah, and the artistic style, because he's both the writer and the artist of it, it's a cartoony style, I would say.
He's a fabulous cartoonist.
Oh yeah, it's great. A tremendous amount of personality within the story that he tells, and I loved it. I gave it to my fiance to read because I would think it would be something that she would really enjoy. I don't know if she's actually read it because she's in grad school, but I gave it to her. It struck me so much because in my own relationship with my fiance, we've had long distance. She lived in Bangladesh for like 6 months.
That's long distance.
Yeah, she lived in St. Louis. I lived in Chicago. Now she lives in Pittsburgh, and I live in Chicago. And I really enjoyed how he portrayed sort of the much more modern relationship. Like, it's not – life isn't anymore because of the way – how much the world has shrunk, where people – you meet someone in your hometown – and you marry him and you live in your hometown and that's what happiness is.
Whether they are your cousin or not.
Yeah, and you're in this little world and we live in this world where you meet people from everywhere and sometimes you connect with someone from a very far distance
thousands of miles away.
And you have to figure out what that means. And like, do you drop your life to go there? And that's very scary to drop your life to follow somebody else because there's nothing is guaranteed in any sort of relationship, and that's very much what this book is about. Is about
he makes the point of it is that he had lived in Napa Valley his entire life, and his family was from Napa Valley. He was the only one of his family that had stayed there his entire life. Everyone else had moved to Texas or other parts of the country and then come back eventually. He was the only one that stayed there, and that was his home. It was the only home that he ever knew. And there's a tremendous security blanket that you wrap around yourself whenever you have lived in one place.
I mean,
your entire
one of the best scenes in this book is when that giant bug flies at him when
the
he is
cockroach.
Like the giant cockroach. Yeah, it's just so funny and so a culture shock moment of like, I live in a place where there's giant fucking cockroaches, and they're flying around,
and there are feral cats that will eat those giant cockroaches.
Yeah, I mean, just like this, it's so true. And that feeds into like the weird fantasy part, because I think sometimes slice of life comics get the tag of like sad sack comics, or they get like the oh yeah my job sucks type comics. Well, this one really I think captures the actual sort of nature of what somebody's life is like. There's ups and downs, and
but he's dealing with all these things in his life. And then there's this amazing relationship that comes in and shakes everything up. And what's what's interesting about it is that it's a mature relationship. They're both set in their careers. They have lives, and this romance just puts all of that on its head. But it is a modern and mature relationship. They're looking at this relationship through, you know, a mid-30s perspective.
Yeah, it's not sort of like the 16-year-old view of like what a relationship would be like. It's very, they've both been disappointed by things in the past, and
but at the same time, this relationship is all consuming, and yeah. she is all that he can think of, I think the same thing from her, you know, perspective. She's fallen in love with this man, so
it's one of the best love story comics I've ever read, and it's tremendously fun in that sense.
But not over romanticized.
Oh no, it's not over romanticized. It's honest in the fact that the original meeting is extremely romantic, but reality after that is often not romantic at all. And that's what really struck me about this book. And I think it's so fun to read. It's like this weird escapism, but not an escapism in the sense that you're going to fly away and fight aliens or something. It's escapism in like you can get wrapped up in somebody's life who's really just sort of spilling their guts about like how their relationship went. Because it, just as the title says, it's a true story, swear to God.
And what's funny is that he is a lifelong comic fan and an aspiring cartoonist. And there's one moment in the book where there are capes that show up, and it's a dream that he has. Yeah. And you know that as a cartoonist, he's just like, I'm just dying to draw this.
I just love the fact that Image collected all that stuff and put it out. I just think it's a real testament to what Image can do as a company to collect that type of thing and put it out there. It's so different from you know, your capes and cowls, your monsters, your spies, your alien invaders.
Well, people that aren't familiar with the Image Archive program, very similar to the DC Showcase or the Marvel Essentials. The biggest difference is that, well, Image has only been around for, you know, 15 plus years, so any of the comics that are going to be in those archives are relatively new, where all the DC and Marvel stuff are, you know, 30, 40 years old. But
they've been putting out the Noble Causes stuff. They've been putting out
Savage Dragon.
I mean, it's an awesome way to get caught up in extremely modern comics and from a company that's put out such different stuff. I mean, to think that the same people that had their name on Savage Dragon had their name on True Story, swear to God.
Yeah.
Tom Beilen's stuff is just, it's amazing. And I know that earlier this year he'd been talking about he had to stop doing the comic for various reasons. It just wasn't making money.
Yeah, and he had some health issues that he was dealing with. It was getting in the way of him being able to, you know, to draw.
To draw the comic, and I would just urge people to, if you like slice of life stuff, you absolutely need to read True Story, swear to God. And if you like it, you need to tell him that you like it, because it would mean the world. Because it's obvious, it's this guy's life. Yeah. I mean, warts and all. I mean, he doesn't shy away from showing the bad parts of himself. I mean, if anything, he puts it all out.
His own insecurities, his own failings. I mean, there are points where he's just, I am an asshole, and he
realizes it. Yeah.
He puts it in there.
He puts it right in there, and it's a great book, and it's such a unique, it's a true vision from somebody. It's one of those occasions when an artist, he's the artist, he's the writer, it's his vision, it's exactly the book that he wants to put out.
I think a lot of it is in the first issue. It's funny because it's being so autobiographical, it's self-referential.
Yeah.
We get to read the first issue, and then in later issues, he shows Lily
the first issue, and he doesn't want to put it out. And she's like, "Oh, you have to put this out." And she's the one that pushes him to go to conventions and sell him as many comics. And it's just like, it's that whole sense. I mean, it's the complete story of how this story gets out, and it's great.
I love the convention story, by the way.
Oh, when he's hanging.
The story in the book is that he's had a very successful first day at his very first convention, and he's hanging out at the hotel bar. And I remember the first time that I went to a convention and hung out at the hotel bar and realized that comic book creators were real, you know, living, breathing people.
Talk to you, yeah. Yeah.
And he meets a guy who's a store owner in Santa Cruz, and the guy comes back a few minutes later and says, "Hey, why don't you come on over here? Some of my friends are you know, having drinks. You know, come over and I'll introduce you." And it's Jeff Smith and Frank Miller and Kurt Busiek,
and they all treat him just like another creator. And it blows him away that he is in this situation where all these people that he respects are like, acknowledge him as just a peer, and there's nothing weird or like, there's no fame level to it. They're just all talking and hanging out, and he's hammered. And then he calls Lily.
Much like me at a convention, he drinks way too much.
He calls Lily. He's like, "Oh, I met Frank Miller, and Frank Miller just talked to me. Jeff Smith just talked to me like I was just some other, you know, like another artist." And it's cool because you see someone like that in that situation where he's like, "Oh, you know, I'm just somebody else selling comics, and there's no big egos involved in this type of stuff." Moments like that. Yeah,
and I'm doing this because this wonderful woman that I've met is the one that you know spurred me on.
She's the reason why he got to meet Jeff Smith and Frank Miller and got to talk to them and hang out with them.
You know, I've never met Tom Beland or his wife, but there's another comic book couple here in Chicago that they from reading this book, because after you read this book you feel like you do know them. Art Balthazar and his wife Rose. I imagine them being
Art could do a story similar to
I think Art has done a story very similar to this. It's I'm gonna forget the name of it. It's Amoeba and Me. Big Amoeba.
Big Amoeba.
Yeah, and it's basically Art's true story, swear to God. But, you know, Rose, Art's wife, is very much like Lily in this book, that she is the one that pushed him and said, "No, Art, you have to follow your dream. You have to do this." And it's a very heartwarming story. I love the relationship between Tom and his brother.
Oh, yeah, it's great. It's very funny when they go to the
football game.
The football. What was it? The NFC Championship game between the 49ers and Cowboys.
Yeah, yeah.
And they get the photo passes on the sideline, and his brother wears a Cowboys jersey.
An Aikman jersey. It's like, "You can't wear that.
You can't wear that." Yeah, it's a 49. They're at Candlestick for the game. I mean, it's all little moments like that. All very funny moments, and it's not just all like, "I went out on a date and it didn't go well." I mean, it's stuff like the comic book convention. It's stuff like the football game.
Oh, I love the constantly referring to the temperature, because when Lily would come to San Francisco, she's from Puerto Rico.
It was cold.
It was like 65 degrees. She's like, "You live in Alaska."
And he would go to Puerto Rico and it'd just be horrible, constantly hot. It's hard to describe in that sense because it goes all over with a lot of the humor and a lot of the storytelling elements. It's not just straight like, "I went on a date tonight. We went to the movie. We had an argument after the movie." You know, it goes in all the sort of weird directions that actual life.
It's his thoughts on stuff, his views on things, what's going on in the world around him, but how this woman basically impacts everything. You do notice as you're reading it that the majority of it is all first person from Tom's perspective. Yeah. There are a few moments in the book that you get these snippets of what Lily is doing in either Puerto Rico or wherever, and I like that they did that, and they were always in really short bursts that he would put those in.
Well, it's almost because the nature of the book is it went from like a mini comic to there's. The tone of it changes a little bit because it becomes a little bit more sure of itself.
And the book evolves, yeah.
He becomes a little bit more sure of how to tell this story. But it just all adds to the charm because there's no pretense that it's Lord of the Rings or it's like Star Wars. It's this guy's life. And the fact that it evolves and how it's told just folds into it because as he becomes... he gains confidence because you see it in the story. He gains more confidence in that this is a story worth telling, the story gets told in a different way.
Yeah, I actually it did pick up steam for me.
Yeah.
That at about the midpoint of the archive, I was like, okay, yeah, you know, you really felt like you knew this person. You were vested in all of the characters, not just Tom and Lily, but their families and friends. And as you began to care more about them, the storytelling was smoother and it flowed in ways that moved the story along and made it even more engrossing and captivating. So
yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a really truly unique book.
Mm-hmm.
That I loved it.
I'm glad it's there. I'm glad it's out there.
I'm glad Image is there to put that collection of this stuff out, because I imagine it's probably hard to get a hold of all of it now. So get to Amazon, get, you know, mm-hmm. wherever you can get this book, get a hold of it. If you like Slice of Life comics, it's awesome.
I really enjoyed it quite a bit. So hats off to Tom Beland and his lovely wife, Lily.
Yeah, who, radio personality. Yeah. Tom Beland is on Twitter.
Oh, is he? Good.
Yeah.
Good. I need to follow him.
You can find him. You can find them around. You read the books. Make sure you like it.
You know what's funny is he talks. You know, whenever he met her at that bus stop, had no idea who she was. Just a nice lady from Puerto Rico, and he moves there and finds out that she's a celebrity in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, a celebrity in Puerto Rico. Everyone knows who she is. Yeah.
Yeah, she's been a TV and radio personality for like 20 years, and so she. You know, he kind of gets thrown into this kind of like pseudo celebrity status, you know, doing like interviews and whatnot. And it's kind of funny from the comic book perspective that, you know, I don't know who she is, but now I know Tom because of this book.
Yeah.
And so he's kind of like a little mini comic book celebrity.
Yeah. And that's all part of the culture shock and mm-hmm. it all feeds into it. It's a great little story.
Yeah. Yeah. So good stuff. All done with that?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you to Tom Beland for making such a fantastic story, and keep on cranking them out. We'll definitely keep our eyes open for that. And thank you once again for Image for presenting this in such an easy to buy and digest archive edition.
Awesome.
So even though Tom, because of you. Tom Beland, I'm never going to suggest a 500-plus page book for our book club.
Yeah, no, never pick a 500-page book for the book club.
So never again.
The book I picked, though, is pretty fucking dense.
So. Yeah, what's won't you unveil your book club selection?
I believe the title's The Adventures of Luther Arkwright. Is that the actual title of it? It's by Brian Talbot, yeah. No, I just got thrown into a situation. I picked it weeks ago. If you're unfamiliar with the story, Luther Arkwright, it's sort of a multiverse story.
It is the Adventures of Luther Arkwright by Brian Talbot.
From Dark did Dark Horse put out the trade of it, correct? I believe so. They put out the second one. They must have put out the first one. We're waiting to find out.
Yes.
If you're not familiar with it, it is a tale of a multiverse world where there's alternate worlds and one man who can travel between all of them. It's dense, it's black and white, and it's awesome. It is all the stuff. If you love sci-fi alternate dimension stuff, this is where all the ideas. Yeah, I mean, yeah, if you like the Morrison multiverse stuff, you need to read this stuff because it is right in that same wavelength of where it's going. The art is awesome. I've exposed myself as a huge Brian Talbot fan because I've talked about Alice in Sunderland, and I love Tale of One Bad Rat. Great artist. It's a dense book. I'm not going to lie to you. You're
great.
Gonna
just
get
what
into
I
it.
Needed. Another dense read.
It's not 500 fucking pages, but I mean it is a dense read, but it's very enjoyable, very sci-fi. I think it's a little different tone from the other books of the month we've done because I think it goes a little bit more towards the sci-fi edge than we've gone in a while.
Oh, read it, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
And Sal said he's going to be in on the conversation next time.
Yeah,
so.
Sal loves the Brian Talbot.
Yeah,
He does. Yeah, there
it
is.
It is published by Dark Horse. It is The Adventures of Luther Arkwright, and it's the first volume. And it is available at instocktrades.com for $12.32.
Yeah.
So you can't beat that. So you can also grab it at Amazon for a little bit more than that. So $12.89.
Yeah,
so
if
you're out of the country.
If you're outside the U.S., it's a great book. Read it.
All right,
we're gonna have a great time talking about it.
I'm looking forward to doing that. And
it's insane.
Yes,
the book's fucking insane.
And it is. It's the beginning of March. We're gonna do this. We're gonna do this in April.
What?
Okay.
We're gonna do our episode on it in April.
At the beginning of April, the end of April,
sometime in the month of April.
Can we do after April 15th?
Yes.
Okay.
After tax day.
April 16th. I think the 15th is a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe whatever the weekend after that.
All right.
I'm going to start reading it now because I could read that book 1,000 times.
I'm going to try and
you find something new every time.
All right. Okay. Well, once again, this is a little bit different episode. This is our book club episode. So if you want more regular around comics goodness,
if you want the ribbon, uh-huh. You want the shit humor, you want sort of the lowbrow.
Come back on Monday.
Any other episode than this one.
So we will have a new full-length episode out on Monday. So thanks for everyone that listened to this and participated in our book club selection. Hope you enjoyed it.
If you liked what we heard, buy the book.
Yes.
Because this is one of those books where you getting it actually matters to the person.
It does matter.
It does matter to them. So absolutely. If you like what you heard, pick it up and read it. It is worth reading.
Yeah, and it's going to connect with you on some level. It's good
if you're
stuff.
Normal, if you don't have like a weird relationship to if you're scared of women, keep reading Batman.
All right, everyone.
Sorry, I like Batman.
Everyone, thank you so much for listening. We'll be back again on Monday with another full-length episode of Around Comics. In the meantime.
In between time.
Thank you, sir. We'll be everywhere in and around comics.
Frightened of women.